David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the show.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in the show.
Got no shot. Brought to you by the great people at PointsBet Sportsbook and Hawthorne Racecourse. My guy, Teddy Greenstein, cooks up tremendous name-a-bet promotions, promos that can make you money. PointsBet Sportsbook is now open, and their star, Paige Spiranek, will be in town this weekend. Download the PointsBet app and register your account at Hawthorne Racecourse. Danny.
Good morning, gentlemen, and my condolences to you, Hoodie, on your White Sox.
What's up, man? Hoodie's feeling a little low this morning.
What up, Hoodie? I don't blame you. Don't tip your cap.
No.
They don't deserve it. They lost to Dusty Baker.
One of the best innovations of this radio station is to tell someone, hey, don't tell me how to fan. I'll fan how I want to fan.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the best things of, like, the decade. I feel bad that the White Sox lost. And I'll say this, and I know that we have new listeners every day, but I want to make sure it's very clear. From my standpoint, I'm hoping that I'm wrong about more than half of my thoughts on our Chicago sports teams, right? If I see something that's like, man, the White Sox, they're going to be underachievers this year, and they surprise me, I'm hoping that I'm wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that in this hot take society that, man, if I say this take and I'm right, man, I mean, it's like points, right? This is not around the horn. Not this show, right?
Agreed.
It's not about that. I'm hoping that whatever I say that I don't see it or I'm not sure about this and they surprise us, that's what we want from our Chicago sports team.
A guy yesterday when I was at the game came up to me, he listens to the show, and he said, boy, why do you hate Matt Nagy? I said, I don't hate Matt Nagy. You got to understand something. We have a job to do.
Yep.
And when I think he has done something wrong, I'm going to give you my honest opinion. We have never once in a meeting, ever, and I will never do this show that way. Hoodie, you take that side, I'll take this side. Danny, you are the administrator. Which side should I take? No. We may agree, and there are times we don't agree.
Now, there's shows that are like that on the dial, of course.
And just Danny, look up in the monitor.
Yep, and Danny used to produce it. Go ahead.
All right, gentlemen.
Wow. Good morning.
Let's begin with your White Sox, shall we? Carlos Rodon's future is now up in the air. He is a free agent officially.
Top down.
The arm soreness, the fatigue, not an ideal way to enter the postseason given his injury history and the ups and downs over his seven seasons with your Chicago White Sox. I simply ask you guys, shot or no shot, the 28-year-old will return to the South Side on a new deal.
No shot. No shot. Last year, they were able to get him on the one-year deal for, I don't know, what did he get? $3.5-4 million?
I think that's right.
He got non-tendered. There is no way that you could watch that guy pitch yesterday and go to your owner, hey, I want to give $100 million to Carlos Rodon. No chance. The third inning, he's out. He went from 99 miles an hour to 95. It was like, oh, the shot of Tordal's wearing off. No chance.
That's stiff right there. Hold
on.
No
chance.
Don't say that. Wait a minute.
Come on.
No, I would agree.
Are you reporting this?
No.
Should we get the news on here?
It's just a tongue-in-cheek remark that he was
that's stiff.
Get Ruby Bashwald up here. He's got to report everything.
Oh, leave my friend Ruby alone.
I will say no shot.
Well, we weren't supposed to talk about that.
Well, I will say no shot. Because Rodon, I'm sure that there's pressure on him this year, Danny. Like, man, I'm pitching for a contract. I'm pitching to, now he'll go someplace else, but I think the White Sox and Rodon should turn the page. I agree.
All right, gentlemen. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. It is Bears-Packers week, better known as Meat and Cheese week.
Yes.
Let's get ready for that. Justin Fields played under the lights at The Ohio State University, mm-hmm. and has experience in rivalries. He played in the OSU-Michigan series. That experience consists of only one game. He didn't play the Wolverines last season. But in 2019, Fields went 14 for 25 for 302 yards, four touchdowns in a 56-27 victory against Michigan at Michigan Stadium. So I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, Justin Fields' experience at OSU and playing in big games will help him this Sunday and as he plays in the biggest, most important game of his young NFL career.
That is a shot. It will help him because he won't be overwhelmed by the moment. Actually, his blood pressure is always 120 over 80. His facial expression never changes. That's actually good to be a quarterback that never has too many highs, too many lows, if you've seen him, right? I noticed that in college as well. Like, everything's even keel. So this game won't overwhelm him. Yeah, he knows what big games because he's played them.
Yes, and when he said, and I'm with you, Shot, because when he said, I was built for this, I went to Georgia and Ohio State.
Yeah.
I was built for this city, this moment, this challenge. Yes. Absolutely.
Shot.
Danny.
Gentlemen, sticking with your Chicago Bears, Robert Quinn has been the Bears' most consistent pass rusher. He has 4.5 sacks in 5 games this season, compared to 2 sacks in 15 games last season. His reemergence has also allowed Khalil Mack to flourish on the other side of the line. Mack has 5 sacks this season. I asked you guys, shot or no shot, Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack have become the NFC's most dominant pass rushing duo.
That's a shot. 9 sacks or 9.5 sacks already between these two. That is what they envisioned when they signed Robert Quinn. And it's funny. You get healthy, you're a better football player.
Jeff, I need to phone a friend. Is that show still on the air?
I don't think so.
I need to phone a friend. I'm sure it's someplace, like maybe in Europe.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
that's
still on?
Yeah, I feel like they...
Jimmy Kimmel hosts it, doesn't he?
Yes, special.
Or was it that lady from The View, Meredith Vieira?
I don't know. I think that... I feel like that show's not on the air right now. Maybe it is.
Wasn't it Howie Mandel back in the day?
Oh, that's a different show.
No.
What show is that?
Briefcase Show.
Yeah, that's Steve Mandel. Now, we were talking about...
847.
847-27. All right, so I need to ask you whether or not that is true or not. I want to phone a friend.
Still on the air, guys. Kimmel Holtz.
Still on the air, huh? Why is he doing that?
What's the show with the briefcases?
Who wants to make a deal, right? Or
that's right. No.
Let's make a deal?
No.
That was Monty Hall.
But I thought that's what it was. It's like they read the
Let's Make a Deal has 3 options.
It's called Deal or No Deal.
Deal or No Deal.
That's correct.
But you stop yelling at me.
That's how you have to host a game show.
I understand
show.
That. Thank you. Wink Zetterman over there. So I want to phone a friend and ask you about the pass rush, right? So if we say Quinn and Mack, right, is there someone better that we're missing?
Ooh,
Chargers?
A combination. Well,
before I answer, I want to just ask you because I feel like...
Yeah.
He said NFC, not the Chargers.
I said NFC, correct. But if you want to go all league, you guys can go all league.
I mean, it's still like...
Who's the other pass rusher at Arizona with Chandler Jones?
J.J. Watt.
But
he's
kind
of... He's
although they just announced this morning, Phil Yates just announced Chandler Jones, COVID positive.
Is it just fair to say Aaron Donald and anybody with him is
Leonard
a better pass
Floyd.
Rush? Even if it is Floyd, Floyd's been good with, you know, because Aaron Donald takes all the attention.
Yeah, you know what? Because Danny said NFC, I will say shot. But I'm just trying to figure out just in the entire league whether or not I'd have them as the best. I mean, definitely numbers-wise, they're starting to be exactly what we thought they would be, right, Cap?
Correct.
So
yeah, I mean, when Robert Quinn's playing like he's playing,
yeah,
all of a sudden you can actually start to make that claim and not be ridiculous.
All right, so I'll ride with you, Cap. I'll say shot to that. In the NFC, for sure.
And that's how you win this weekend. Unfortunately, we don't have that high-octane offense yet. Turnovers, getting pressure on Aaron Rodgers. That's the key.
So anybody with Von Miller, anybody with Chase Young, I don't think that's the case anymore.
Bradley Chubb's always hurt. Otherwise, I could maybe say Von Miller and Chubb and give you a Miles Garrett and, Clowney. That's a pretty good tandem.
Last year, I'd give you Donald and Leonard Floyd.
Yep. Yeah, I'm right there. Danny.
Gentlemen, speaking of Let's Make a Deal, did you know that Meghan Markle was a briefcase model on that show?
I did not know that.
I did not know that.
Well, there you go.
I didn't know that.
Let's make a deal.
And it's Deal or No Deal, right?
Yeah, that too.
Deal or No Deal.
Deal or No Deal, gentlemen.
Let's Make a Deal is the 3 options. From
correct.
Back of the...
Yeah. That's correct. That's door number 1, door number 2, or door number 3.
It's still on CBS in the morning, 9 a.m.
Farm animals, right, was always like the third option that you didn't want to pick.
Yes.
My friend Harathi sent me a picture of Meghan Markle on that show.
Didn't know that.
If you have Google, get to it quickly because it's definitely worth looking at.
Oh, all right.
She is a princess. All right, gentlemen, Derrick Rose got engaged. He got engaged at Center Court at Madison Square Garden. Oh. White tablecloth, wine, gourmet meal. Oh. Gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot, Derrick Rose could have done something more special to ask the love of his life to marry him.
Well, shot, it could have been something more special, but he decided to do that. And you know what? I don't have a problem with it because that's who he is, basketball.
Well said. I think Danny is way off base here. I thought it was cool.
Off base? I just asked the question. I mean, you're assuming. You're making an assumption on my feelings, Kaplan. And when you make an assumption, you know what that makes you.
Yeah, it makes me the guy who was sitting in the bullpen with you this morning.
But was the audience there, Cap?
I'm taking them inside. You think it was weak, that he could have done something way better? And I'm with Hoodie. This is a kid who basketball has given him everything he has. He is a warrior on the court. And if you're going to be his significant other, basketball is the fiber that winds through every aspect of his life.
True.
And he sets up tablecloth. Like, this is a guy who grew up with nothing.
He set it up.
Yeah, he made the calls and said, hey.
That's all he did. Picked up the phone. Hey, it's Derek. I need to propose. Make it happen.
All right, get out of there.
You do it.
He's Steve Martin and the Jerk now.
Yeah.
what are you doing there?
I thought it was awesome.
The new phone book's
over
here.
Listen, that's the professional athlete equivalent of asking your significant other to marry you on the Videotron.
Get out of there.
That's what that is. There is not a lamer way to do it.
Back
when I proposed to my beautiful wife, Diana.
Yes.
I took her to a Bulls game mm-hmm. to get her out of the house. So then I could have my family there and they laid roses everywhere and whatever. It's the whole way I proposed. But I needed to get her out of the house to the Bulls game. So I had to ask our then general manager, I had asked John Cravens, hey, John, could I have two really good seats to take Diana to the Bulls game because I'm going to propose tonight, right? And he said, do you want me to pull some strings and you can do it on the video board at the game? And I said, absolutely not. No offense to anybody out there listening that did that. But there is not a lamer way to do it. Derrick Rose, what he did is the equivalent of asking your significant other to marry you on the Jumbotron.
No shot.
It's just he could have done so many greater things. He's Derrick Rose, man.
I mean, okay.
He's got the resources to literally make anything happen.
Oh, how about the rare John Cravens mentioned there? George Hamilton of Sports Radio. Wow. Handsome man.
I like John.
John Cravens. Good man.
All right. He
gave me the Bulls tickets.
We'll discuss this on the other side. I got to keep the rig on the road.
George Hamilton, big in match game, right, Hoodie?
Yes, he is.
Do you think that Derek, that it was cool what he did? Set up had someone set up a table with a cloth tablecloth and the wine or champagne, the whole deal, right on the court at Madison Square Garden in an empty building with the lights all on, and he gave her a piece of ice that, wow, it would be perfect in a glass of bourbon. That's how big that thing was.
Well, huge. I'll give my shot or no shot on that coming up.
All right.
And also coming up, Cap will tell you about how to keep in shape. That's going to be in less than 1 minute.
There you go. Be right back.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Pour yourself a cup of coffee, maybe your second or third. Little Smashing Pumpkins. Get your morning going with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. 312-332-3776.
So you were saying
our phone number.
So you were saying about Derrick Rose.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool what he did. I mean, who else is getting the linen tablecloth with the linen napkins mm-hmm. and the big ring, and they're on the court at Madison Square Garden, and he's a basketball player
yeah.
that's given him his hard work has given him everything in his life through the game of basketball. His long-term girlfriend, who's now going to be his wife and who's now his fiance, she understands what she's signing up for.
Yeah.
And to do that in what they call the greatest arena in the history of sports in this country,
sure,
MSG, hey, man, I think that's absolutely awesome.
Okay, so from Danny's standpoint, I'm not going to speak for Danny, but from what I glean from Danny, he looks at it as saying, okay, you could do a lot more. You're a millionaire. You could be in the south of France. You could be anywhere and propose to your girlfriend, now fiance. But I guess from maybe from her standpoint, she's into basketball too, so she'd be good with that. Mm-hmm. You can, I mean, I think we look at it as, oh, he proposed at Simeon in the gym. He didn't do that. He proposed in Madison Square Garden. The floor happens to be down because mm-hmm. of basketball, but he did propose in Madison Square Garden. So from my standpoint, Cap, I think that that was cool because clearly she thinks it's cool, right? Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, what did she say? Here? Now, here's one thing I will push back on, and that is this. Is that when you propose to someone, it's supposed to be a surprise, right? So you and I have been at the Garden before, and you had to go through like that little service entryway, mm-hmm. and then they bring you up to a certain floor of the garden. Mm-hmm. So obviously, what is the trick to get her to come? Like, oh, I forgot my gym bag, though. We got to go to the garden. What does Derek say to her, right? So what does Derek do to get her to the garden? Like, she knows there's no concert going on. There's no game. So she goes, you know, what's he going to say?
Hey, you know, so I just want you to know, I left my gym socks. I got to go get them for the road. Come with me, though.
I mean, ultimately, is that what it is? Is that what's being said? And then who sets all that up? We know about New York when it comes to the union, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many guys did it take to set up that table of chairs and put that linen? Like five guys?
So
And who turned the lights on?
So true story. Back at our old station at GM when Waddle and I were together, mm-hmm. we would work every year at the auto show. Have you ever done a show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm in the business. You know I've done the auto show. And the boat show and the motorcycle show.
And so we happen to see whoever it was, Dan Marino, or somebody's there doing an appearance for one of the car dealers. They're like, we sent our producer, Mike Farron, who's now the voice of the Diamondbacks.
Good man.
Dude, go over there and see if we can get him when he's done. He says, yeah, I'll be glad to come on. I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody huge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we needed a chair for him to sit on. We only had four, our engineer, Jimmy Lucas, Farron, me, and Waddle. I walked around, and there was like a closed, like, little booth, and there was a chair there, a folding chair. I picked it up. I carried it. I set it down, and said Hall of Famer sits down to discuss whatever we were talking about with me and with Waddle.
Right.
Dude, we get off the air, and there's a guy four times your size, 5 inches taller, and he goes, hey, who took the chair and brought it over here? I'm like, me? What'd you do that for? I said, we had, you know, Mickey Mantle wanted to sit down.
You could tell he's from Chicago.
Yeah.
What'd you do that for?
All right, I'm not going to write you up this time. You don't ever do that again. I go, I just took a folding chair. I'll bring it back. I'm a Teamster.
Yeah.
We get paid to set the chairs up.
Right.
I'm like, it's a folding chair.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't how it works at McCormick Place.
Well, I just want to know how that worked at the Garden because I know that. And by the way, how much did it cost, Danny, for this to happen? I mean, that's an actual event. Is that about $1 million? Usually events like that is $1 million at the minimum at the Garden.
I'm willing to say he didn't pay a dime.
Thibodeau paid for it?
I bet you he called James Dolan, the guy that runs the Knicks.
Uh-huh.
He's like, hey, Jimmy, I need to propose tonight. Oh, yeah, come on into Madison Square Garden, whatever you need, on the arm.
Where else would in New York would you propose?
Oh, my God, New York's got so many amazing places and so many great things he could have done.
On top of bags of garbage?
How you feel about New York. He could have gone to Central Park. He could have gone to the Empire State Building. He could have taken her anywhere in the world. Listen.
Is Central Park too cliche in that spot or no?
Oh, yeah, it's less cliche than Madison Square Garden Center Court, isn't it?
I don't know. Like, who else has proposed a guard? I don't know that, the answer to the question.
It's so cliche that Adam Sandler used proposing in, what was the movie where he was the, I think it was in Billy Madison.
Big Daddy.
Uncut Gems.
Well, he took her to the center course of the ice rink to propose to her. I mean, it's just cliche.
No, and Happy Gilmore, he took her ice skating on their date, like Rocky.
And then he
did.
Had the guy singing on the he had the guy singing on the Zamboni. I mean, that's how cliche it is that Sandler's using it in his movies.
Okay, well, you said that it's usually a surprise. Like, my wife was completely surprised when we got engaged.
Sure.
They're already married.
Who?
Rose and his girlfriend.
They're already married?
They're already
why
married.
Would he get, why would he get engaged? That doesn't make any sense. They it said Clutch Sports released a statement saying their client Derrick Rose is now engaged.
Because according to Therese,
like I feel like you're trying to find a loophole where it's not lame.
Derrick and Elena in 2018, when she announced she was pregnant, wanted to start their family as a married couple. We're told the wedding was small and private. He now wants to have a more lavish public ceremony, and that's why they did this.
So it's still lame. Like, he still could have done it anywhere else. Like, there's no loophole here, Cap, where you're getting him out of it.
I completely disagree.
So, hold up. So, they're already married, and then they did this, and then they did the proposal?
Right.
Hoodie's coming around.
Now,
welcome to the Zetterman side.
I know a story like that. You know a story like that, too. Friend the business. Someone that got married.
Oh, I do know a story like that.
Someone got married and all of a sudden
yes.
There's this proposal and this all put on airs and all this stuff. Okay, so that's not unfamiliar to me, what he just did there. However, if they're already married, do you have to do that? Did you do that for social media? Why'd you do that? Did you do it because you love her?
Yeah, I think he wanted to do something lavish for her. In fact, a writer for SI.com, Ashley Nicole Moss.
So lavish to be inside.
She called it, Derrick Rose just executed my dream proposal.
What is she going to say? Listen, I'll be honest.
No, not his fiance. This young lady who works for SI.com that covers the Knicks. She called it a dream proposal. Congrats, legend, New York forever.
Oh, so her opinion's more valuable than mine. It's just her opinion versus anyone else's opinion.
Yeah, I just think I thought it was awesome, to be honest with you.
Also think about how Derek probably is a workaholic. What's the Knicks schedule? He was doing that around the Knicks schedule, I think.
Probably right.
This is October, isn't it? So, I mean, like between practices, he was able to do this? Between preseason games? I don't know. Now, listen, I would not, myself, Danny, that would not be my choice. It was a hotel downtown in which I proposed. That's how I did
it. And I'm sure it was romantic and spectacular.
Yes. Yes. It was spectacular.
I'm just happy this is not Kyrie Irving, because he wouldn't even be allowed in the building if he wanted to propose at Madison Square Garden.
That's right. Sorry, you can't come in.
Wow, Barclays either.
Guys, let's go to Mike on line three. He's a little mad at me.
All right.
Mike, what's going on, buddy?
I'm offended at the fact that proposing at center court or the 50-yard line in my case is a bad idea or lame in that case. Back about 10 years ago, we had run the Soldier Field 10-mile, and I'm thinking, we're going to be at Soldier Field. I know I can probably get somebody to let me down on the field to do this. My wife's not going to expect it all at that time, girlfriend. And so I talked to the organizers of the event, and they basically let me go down right after the race. We were sweaty. We had just run 10 miles. She definitely didn't see it coming, and I thought it was absolutely perfect. And it's, you know, it's an iconic place. It's been there forever. It's been home to some of the most amazing, you know, experiences of football that anyone in Chicago could ever see. So, I mean, I think it's offensive that anyone calls a sporting event proposal lame.
I thought what you did was cool, Mike.
That is. That's a romantic.
I think it's offensive that he didn't understand what I was saying. I think if you did it at a Bears game, that's lame. You running the 10 miles, whatever, and ending up at Soldier Field and her not expecting it, totally, completely different situation. And that's actually thoughtful because you guys went through a struggle together. You completed something together. That's more romantic. Now, if you just took her to the Bears-Lions game and you did it at halftime, that's what I'm calling lame.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
What, Mike, thanks, man. Appreciate you. What if
the Rose struggle?
Yeah, what if Mike met his fiancée-to-be at a Bears
that's
game.
That's different,
or
Cap.
Or they bought tickets together.
That's thoughtful. That's romantic. Like, you know, if you met Mindy in the bleachers of Wrigley Field and then you took her back to a game and you sat in those same bleachers at Wrigley Field and you proposed
and then you bought
there,
the Cubs.
That's meaningful because it ties into your past. And then you had biblical losses.
Dennis Culleton just heard that shot and went, whoa!
Well, it's true. I don't need a baseball man for my baseball man.
Thanks, Tom.
So there you have that.
What
so,
do you like about the Marquee Network?
He won't be saying that in 2 years. No, I'm saying it in 3 years, pal. Still sucks.
What do you have against the Marquee Network?
I will say this, though. As I was saying, Cap, like at the Garden, when you go through the service entrance and you see the court, if there's a table set up, isn't the surprise gone? I mean, because it's not like, boom, I want you to marry me. It's like you're walking through and you see this table and you see everything set up. There's something going on here.
But if they're already married and he says, okay, let's do this, blah, 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 I'll have something special for you. And then you walk out, her heart starts pounding. Oh, my God, we're actually going to do this. Mm. Does it have to be the element of surprise or just the opulence of being on the court at Madison Square Garden? My husband plays for the New York Knicks. Our family is here. I think it's cool.
Surprises are good, too. Maybe she's not into surprises. I don't know that either. I don't know her.
Some people don't like surprises.
I love surprises.
So do I. Jesse Rogers puts a bow on the Sox season with us. And more of your calls coming up next.
Surprise.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Miller,
stop. Stop it. All right.
Not taking responsibility for that.
You know what?
The randomization of beds.
This Mike Thomas era of music. We're talking White Sox, and we get 84 Cubs music going. Cut it off. I've had enough. Jeez.
I like that song.
Yeah, it's fine for the ivy on the wall and the sun up in the sky, but not now. We have him on to have Jesse on to talk about the White Sox, and here we go with Leon Dermott first and Moreland in right. I don't want to hear that.
Bobby Dernier in center. The Daily Double, Ryan Sandberg at second.
That was an unhappy, unfortunate error in that spot there with the music and Jesse. Damn it.
Jesse Rogers joins us now. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning, Sarge. Don't forget Sarge.
Sarge, man.
Sarge to the left.
Yeah. Love Sarge.
Yep. No question. Who was the third baseman on that?
Ron Say.
Ronnie Say, that's right.
Yeah, the Penguin.
Bowe at short. And Sandberg at second.
Buckner into Durham at first.
Yes.
And Jody Davis at catcher.
Hits the ball so hard.
That was a fun team.
King of the Grand Slam, Homer. Yeah.
So like the 21 Sox, fun team, huh?
Well, just like the 84 Cubs, they bowed out in the postseason.
What a shot
right?
in the balls there, Jesse. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, I think we could all say the better team won, right? And it didn't have to play out that way, but it did. They're a little bit better on defense. They're a little bit better and more balanced at the plate. I'm stressing balanced. And in this series, they pitched better. In the regular season, they were neck and neck on the mound. But certainly in this series, White Sox starters came up short. I don't think we should be overreacting to that part of the Sox game, right? You're not going to get rid of Lynn and Giolito and Cease. They're all good starters. They need to add and maybe replace Rodon if he moves on. But I think there's other areas where weaknesses were exposed. I think they do need to shore up their defense and absolutely need to have a more balanced lineup.
So as you look at this team as currently constructed, what has to be added in the offseason? My take is, and I think Johnny agrees with me, is go get an ace pitcher at the top of the rotation. You did not have very good starting pitching the last month, and especially in the playoffs, it was awful. So that's what I would add. I know they got to tweak second base, but I would add an ace.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. Now, what I just said before is true. You don't want to overhaul your starters because they struggle, but you certainly want to add. You can always think you have enough, and then you realize, no, we really don't. And this happened again with the starting staff. I mean, if you thought about it in April, May, June, they had plenty in the starting staff and Kopech waiting in the wings. And then all of a sudden come October, they're trying to squeeze three innings out of Rodon because he's fatigued. I'm with you. I would add that you always can add there and add at the top and move Lynn down one and Giolito down. That'd be fine with me. Or get a number two or whatever the case may be. On top of that, I think they made a mistake with the Adam Eaton signing, and they need to fix that. They need to find that left-handed slugger to play right field. The opening is there for them. That would help balance the lineup. The funny thing is, guys that were available last year, a few of them, Schwarber, Jock Peterson, depending on options being picked up, are available again. They are set to be free agents. Again, there's both those guys in particular have mutual options. Brantley was available last year. We know he's back with Houston. So I say left-handed bat for sure. You have to figure out, are Vaughn and Sheets going to coexist on this team together and what their roles are exactly? I think there's some changes within that position player group. Not an overhaul. You love those righties, right? But they didn't do a lot of damage in this series. I tweeted out this stat. They hit 295, those righties, against the righties on Houston, but they also slugged 295. You need to find sluggers from the left side, and the little damage they did came from the left side. Garcia, Grandel homered, right, and Sheets, but that's not enough. Those names aren't dangerous left-handed names. Sheets, at least, not yet in his career. So balance the lineup with a left-handed bat in right field. Absolutely go get pitching, both in the rotation and the bullpen. Kimbrel's not going to be back on this team one way or another, so you need to find that right setup man from the right side to get the ball to Liam Hendricks. And shore up the defense. I'm not exactly sure where you do that. I guess right field would be it. And, yes, you have to figure out second base.
What is your letter grade for Tony La Russa's job year and as he comes back here with the White Sox?
Yeah, I mean, it's not an A. It's not a D or C. You know, it's somewhere B minus, B. I mean, when you include the playoffs, he was supposed to get this team ready for the postseason. The uncontested stolen bases, man, that would keep me up,
brother,
the whole offseason if I was Tony La Russa. He knew this was a problem going into the postseason. He tried to address it, didn't go anywhere. Why didn't you address it earlier in the year? If it could be addressed, maybe it can't be with Grandel behind the plate. But they were stealing on pitchers as well. Remember, Altuve stole on Rodon, who's a lefty. And then the Kyle Tucker back-to-back steals, those were killers. I thought A.J. Pierzynski was on the money. That changed the game, those uncontested stolen bases. And that is not something that just popped up in the offseason. I mean, this is Little League stuff. You got to at least make the throw, right?
Yes.
So that's as much on the pitcher as is on the catcher. And I asked Tony about this after the game. He said it's something, obviously, they'll address in spring training. But you had 162 to address it. So just that alone, he gets dropped down from an A. I don't know if you could call it a C when you win the division by 13 games. So somewhere in the B range, I think, makes sense to me.
As you watch this team defensively, and Tony talked, you just chopping up with Hoodie there about the
uncontested stolen bases.
The whole defense, how do you improve a team defensively without making major changes to the roster?
Yeah, that is a very good question. I mean, do you take Eloy out of left? Not that he was awful. He was actually decent, but we know he's not necessarily any sort of a Gold Glover. Well, I mean, shortstop and third base are your guys right now, right? Now, I don't necessarily see any changes there. And we know they have it in them, but they need to shore up the left side of that defense for sure. Abreu was great at first. I don't know, Cap. I don't know. Practice makes perfect. You keep working at it. I mean, there's no doubt Eloy can get better in left. He already has. So let's see if he can take another step. And then, like I said, you go out and sign a good right fielder who has some slug from the left side and can play some defense. They don't grow on trees. You got to go find one. But you just keep working at it, Cap. That's the only answer I can give you.
Could you see moving Moncada to second and going out and finding the best available third baseman?
I could. Yeah.
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I certainly could see that.
You need some lockdown on the left side. And there were moments this year that, you know, Timmy Anderson wasn't necessarily elite. And absolutely, that I think that's a good idea. You could do that. And then go out and find some goalie at third base, right, that just can make the plays. Because Moncada has an intimate team, it seems, but it didn't always show up.
I was disappointed in the starting pitching overall because, Jesse, my contention is it's not about April through September. It gets you there, but in October, you're supposed to be able to be a lot better. And I think the numbers were just really disappointing from the starting pitching. And I'm just wondering, you know, is that A1? Is that the thing that Rick Hahn addresses first? Because Rodon out, I don't see Kopech as a starter here. Cap says he should compete for it. I don't see it based on what I've seen the last couple of months from Kopech. So what's the number one thing Hahn has to address here?
No, I do think they're going to move Kopech into that role. I think they're going to give him that shot at least. They're going to give him that starter shot. I mean, it's always percolating under the surface. If it's not one, it's 1A. When you talk about any of these teams, mm-hmm. any of these contenders, you're always thinking about your starting staff moving forward and what could go wrong and what if they move Kopech in, he's a young starter. If they move Crochet in, they're young starters. You've got to fortify them with some veterans or some just length in that rotation. If it's not the top end, it's the bottom end. So yes, it is always percolating under the surface. I'll give them a little bit of a break. Lynn was a terrible matchup. Now that's still, you got to face him. You got to face whoever's there in the postseason, and it was the worst matchup you could possibly come up with. But it was still just the one team that really could that has gotten to him. Giolito, like if he walked one less guy, maybe two, it's a different outing. Like I wouldn't think, I wouldn't overreact to that. It was Dylan Cease's first playoff game ever. And after that first inning, he just I feel like they still have a good staff. But yes, you need to fortify at the top, middle, or at bottom of that rotation. That's the way I look at it. But that's any team that wants to win a World Series when you think about the offseason coming up.
Jesse, have a wonderful rest of your day, man.
It was great talking to you this season, fellas.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it.
This is the end. We got more.
I know.
And there are moves to come on both sides of town, and you'll be at the forefront of it.
Yeah.
Aren't you covering the Hawks this year?
In the new CBA, no.
They start tonight.
I'm going to be watching the Hawks. But
and
not
no Nathan
them.
McKinnon tested positive.
Who?
Yeah.
Best player on the Avalanche.
They got a shot tonight then.
We're trying to keep listeners.
There's a hockey show on.
Take the Hawks and the under.
It's Saturdays. Yeah.
All right, have a great day, Jesse.
All right, guys, talk to you.
Don't make a federal case out of it.
There's our guy. What do the Sox need to do to win the World Series? We've got callers that want to chat about that. And what'd you think of Derek Rose's engagement? It's all coming up next.
Cap J Hood.
Follow him on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
With the great Jonathan Hood, I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. So the White Sox will now head into the offseason like most teams. There's only a handful left. Yeah. We've got one more game in the DS, which tomorrow night should be a great one. Giants-Dodgers, I think the two best teams in baseball. Mm-hmm. And then Friday night, starting in Houston, it's the Astros and the Red Sox. Do you have a favorite that you'd like to win that series? Would you rather the team that beat you win or the Red Sox who have Chris Sale and Kyle Schwarber, two Chicago guys. Are you rooting for anyone in that series as an American League guy?
No. Because the Rays are out of it, I'm going to side with the Dodgers. Outside the Sox and the Cubs, I think the Dodgers and the Padres are the two teams I watch the most. So I'm going to root for the Dodgers, I guess, in this spot. And American League teams like Red Sox, I just don't have that same feeling, and definitely not the Astros.
I'm rooting for the Giants just because I think it's cool that they may be terrible again next year because they had a bunch of veteran guys like all come to you.
Yeah.
I just think it's cool that they did that.
So. I just, as you well know, it's in our veins, you and I, baseball.
Mm-hmm. It is.
What's JR yelling about?
All right. Hey, JR, we're on the air.
He's anyway, better than that.
He's ranting about something.
He got a black towel at the game yesterday, and he has not stopped complaining that there was no printing on the towel. I'm sure that's what he's yelling about in the hallways.
So, I go to the game, coffee, and I have this towel, and it doesn't have anything about the White Sox on it.
And I can just tell you, if this was Howard Stern, he would not stand for that.
There would be a Sox logo on the towel, and Wendy and Buzz will also have something on their towel. So, there's that. Coffee? Let's go! Where's my logo?
Let's go to the phone.
Let's go!
Tom is in Oak Lawn. Hey, Tommy, what's up there, Sparkles?
What's up, guys? Not right now. Thanks,
okay,
though.
No problem.
First off, I, I proposed to my wife just on Christmas Eve when we were giving away, exchanging our presents and such. And, you know, her response was, you know, priceless. She was just like, yeah, sure. And then when I pulled out the ring, she was like, oh, you were serious. So it proved you don't have to have a big production or anything to have a memorable proposal. So
in other words, Tom, you proposed at Pappy's in Oak Lawn. Is that where he was? The restaurant?
No, we were at her. Give me a little credit there. We were at her parents' house. So.
Wait, there's all these great restaurants though in Oak Lawn. I mean, how come you didn't do it there? Like the drive-in, like the at the Pappy's
or the White
because
Horse?
Because I was still in college, and after I had bought the ring, I barely had enough money to get presents for anybody else. So.
I don't know. Palermo's would have been nice.
Tommy, thanks, man.
How about flapjacks?
Oh, flapjacks. That would have been awesome. Now you're making me rethink my whole proposal now. Come on, Hook.
Have a good day, kid.
Thanks, Tom.
Appreciate you.
We saw
by the way, congrats to Tom. He just did the marathon.
Oh, did he?
Yes. I saw that on Insta or Twitter.
Good for Tom.
Yeah.
He's a P1 to the show. Always good-natured.
Good man. Dave in Crown Point. What's up?
Hey, it's Dave Steve Alford, Haters Club, November 19th. Hey, Cap, you know I love you like the brother I wish I had, but no shot on that, man. It's not original. Let's put it in perspective. What if you were a grave digger? Would you take your future wife to the cemetery and propose?
Well, that's a horrible analogy, Dave. What do you mean not original?
No, it's not. It's the truth. Come on, Cap. I never disagree with you. Let me disagree with you one time, okay?
You're entitled one time. To your opinion.
That's all I'm asking for. That's his workplace. How about if he's an undertaker? You clear the table up, put a rose on there? Come on, Cap.
We just do it right on a coffin. Hey, thanks, Dave. Have a great day, man.
Bye.
I think Dave might be right. You could bring her to the cemetery, be like, honey, would you be my wife until death do us part?
You're macabre. What do you mean, do it on the coffin? What does that mean? That's nasty, man.
I didn't mean do it on the coffin.
Oh, my God. There's a term for that.
Except necrophilia.
Yes. That's nasty.
If the Bears beat the Packers on Sunday.
I don't feel anything.
The nation think our beer.
Oh, God.
Our Bears.
This is not good.
That's coming up in 2 minutes.
Just let me know if you
Follow
like it.
ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.
Let me know.
Watch us live and join the chat. Sponsored by Xfinity. Back in 2 minutes.
I killed her.